We have two scripture passages this morning. The first from Romans chapter 12. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And the second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, the final two verses. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's word is life. Thanks be to God.
On our Lenten journey, we journey towards what is unknown to us. What is strange to us, even repellent, even though it is the center of the Easter story. Central to the Easter story is sacrifice, a concept unknown and foreign to us. When our community faces difficulties, our civic leaders do not offer sacrifices at City Hall. And unlike some ancient cities, we do not offer daily sacrifices to protect us against earthquakes. The idea would do more than raise eyebrows. It would seem absurd, even though it wouldn't have to those who lived at the time of Jesus. Because at the time of Jesus, Jews, Greeks, Egyptians, Romans, the various tribes and nations in the Roman Empire, all sacrificed to the gods. In the whole of the world known to Jesus, everyone offered sacrifices. So it is hardly surprising that in the Gospels, when Jesus speaks of various matters, he uses the language of sacrifice to describe especially his coming death. And the early church used the language of sacrifice to describe and to give meaning to the death of Jesus, a death that the church found difficult to come to terms with and accept, because they considered the death of Jesus shameful. Because in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, it says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," something the Apostle Paul acknowledges in the book of Galatians when he says, "Christ became a curse for us because it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree.'" The New Testament writers drew on this image of one who is cursed and also used the complex and varied sacrificial imagery in the Old Testament, where we find all kinds of different sacrifices described. Sacrifices that in the Bible don't have the modern meaning of giving up something of value as much as the meaning of making an offering to a god to sanctify something or someone, to make something pure, to make something religiously acceptable. A religious concept that everyone understood at the time of Jesus, but a concept that we have no understanding of because our culture is not a culture that offers sacrifices, because Christians did not make sacrifices, unlike everyone else at the time of Jesus. And that was because Christians came to believe that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, because of writings like Mark 14:24, where Jesus says, "This is the blood of the new covenant." Or 1 Corinthians, where Christ is described as the Lamb of God, the Paschal Lamb who was slain. Christ's death is often described as one that does away with sin, but many images are used, and accounts of what happens on the cross are numerous and have resulted in multiple interpretations of the significance of the cross. The cross is seen, amongst other things, as the final expression of God's wrathful condemnation of sin, the place where sin, suffering, and death are destroyed, the ultimate expression of God's loving choice to be with all, the divine self-emptying that makes room for a world of pain, sin, and death within the very life of God. All of those beliefs developed out of the New Testament writings about the death of Christ, a death that Christians remembered and commemorated, not with sacrifice, but in other ways. Because Christians, ironically, were the one group that didn't sacrifice, which caused them no end of trouble in the Roman Empire before Christianity became the official religion of that empire. Because they didn't sacrifice, Christians were called atheists. It was thought that because they didn't offer sacrifices, they did not believe in God. And they were persecuted because they would not even offer up a token sacrifice of incense for the health of the emperor. In place of sacrifice, Christians offered prayer, thanksgiving, praise, the giving of alms to the poor, acts of justice and mercy, offerings known in Judaism, where such acts of sacrifice had already significantly augmented or replaced animal food sacrifices, especially in regions distant from the temple in Jerusalem, which was the only place where sacrifices could be made. The rationale for this alternative behavior was found by the people in the Psalms and prophets, who tell the people that God desires obedience, justice, and mercy rather than sacrifice. Such teachings were why, when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, one rabbi lamented, "Woe to us, for the place where the sins of Israel were expiated is destroyed." A second rabbi, Rabbi Jonathan ben Zakkai, was able to say, "We still have a means of expiation of equal value, the practice of kindness. For it is said by God, offer kindness, not offerings." For this reason, when the possibility of sacrifice ended in Judaism with the destruction of the temple, because sacrifices could only be offered there, Judaism was able to adapt, replace sacrifice with acts of piety and worship. And it was that replacement, that adaptation, that Christians borrowed. One reason why we are now called to offer ourselves and live out the sacrifices of love, of justice, and helping our neighbors. It is important that such actions be understood as a response to the sacrifice of Christ and not in isolation. Because all that we do, all that we give, is a response to what God has done for us, what God has given us in becoming incarnate, present in Jesus, known in Jesus. And our understanding of what happened on the cross profoundly affects our response. If you believe that in the end the cross is about love, if you believe that God is love, the cross is about the love of God for all creation, and that God desires reconciliation with all things, all of creation, including humanity, then the possibility exists that you will respond in love with all your being, so that you can fulfill the great commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And you will understand what Paul means when he says in the 12th chapter of Romans, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." In response to God risking all on the cross out of love, we can all respond with love and offer ourselves to God in worship, in prayer, and the giving of your gifts and talents. In a world as profoundly broken as ours, we need to think together about how we respond to the cross and the claim that sin is broken on the cross, where we find above all else an invitation to be loved and to love in response. In the end, the cross is not so much about death as about love and healing and the reconciliation of all creation. The cross in the end is about life, and we are called to that life by becoming living sacrifices. Not sacrifices sanctified in death, but sacrifices made holy by the lives we live. We no longer offer gifts to God to be consumed by fire. Instead, we offer sacrifices for life-enhancing use, for the good of human life. As one early Christian martyr from the second century put it, "We have been taught that God has no need of streams of blood, libations, and incense. We praise God to the utmost of our power by the exercise of prayer and thanksgiving for all things wherewith we have been supplied. We have been taught that the only honor that is worthy of God is not to consume by fire what God has brought into being for our sustenance, but to use it for ourselves and those in need, and with gratitude to God to offer thanks with solemn hymns and for our creation." That is our calling. And so I invite you in this holy season of Lent to live out the words of our brother Paul and join with the saints in light who have come to understand over the centuries that the cross and sacrifice are about love, the love of a God that is holy love, for which we give thanks this day and every day. Amen.